Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher, 8:06 on this Tuesday. It's May 11th, 28 degrees, currently in Old Town Park City. A few clouds outside. On the phone with us from the ABC Forecast Center, meteorologist Adam Carroll. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. Yeah, we're just starting off with a few clouds across Park City in the Wasatch back. But overall, we'll see more sunshine heading into the midday and latter half of the day, with temperatures in the low 50s, though, for those daytime highs. Now, this low-pressure system that moved in and brought us a little bit of wet weather yesterday is moving out now. So that's why we're starting off with a little bit of cloud cover. But eventually, as it continues to push farther east, that's where we will see more sunshine later today. And, of course, it'll feel a little warmer to go with it. Now, tomorrow we'll get into the 60s and then eventually into the 70s here for Thursday, Friday. And we'll see mainly sunny to partly cloudy skies during this duration all the way through Friday, actually. Now, we will see temperatures at least starting off in the low 30s and eventually into the low 40s by Friday with dry conditions. However, we do have another cool front that's on the move, and that will arrive here for Saturday. That will bring temperatures not down a crazy amount compared to our last several cold fronts. We'll only drop into the 60s here for daytime highs instead of the 70s that we were on Friday. But we will see the possibilities of some area showers on Saturday, but better chance for some scattered storms on Sunday, which tends to be the coolest day, and in the low to mid 60s for daytime highs. So overall, we do have a little bit of a wishy-washy weekend on tap, which is unfortunate, but the rain is great. We do need that rain, but between now and then, it's just dry and getting warmer and warmer.
Okay. Thanks, Adam.
You bet.
KPCW News Time now, 8:08. Well, stay tuned. Coming up on the local news hour this morning, I'll be checking in with Summit County Manager Tom Fisher, taking a look at the agenda for Wednesday's County Council meeting. Park City Ski and Snowboard Executive Director Christy Hine will be in to introduce Tommy Eckfeld. He's been named as the new Alpine Director, replacing John Bukar. And Summit County Arts Council Executive Director Jocelyn Scudder with details about the 2021 Summit Art Showcase and the need for artists there. Stay tuned.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, and this week we are getting stinky with the unsung heroes of the cheese world, the cheesemongers. We'll learn about a wild competition designed to crown the best cheesemonger in the land. We'll learn how to identify cheeses by taste and smell. We've got answers to all your cheesy questions. That's The Splendid Table from APM, American Public Media.
The Splendid Table, heard here every Sunday morning starting at 9 a.m.
And stay tuned. Coming up on This Green Earth, right after the local news hour today, Park City is working toward a net zero carbon goal, and the rest of the state also trying to source cleaner energy. Jeff Buson with Utah Clean Energy will talk about their year-long effort with a local Citizens Action Committee, which identified strategies and processes for residents to reduce their consumption of electricity, natural gas, fuel, and carbon-intensive products. Again, all of that coming up on This Green Earth, right after the local news hour and NPR News at 9:06. Taking a look at some local news now, a fight broke out Friday night at Wasatch High School's lacrosse game. Now, the school district looking into whether some of the players there used racial slurs. KPCW's Jessica Lowell has more on that.
It was senior night at Wasatch High when the Wasps took on Highland High from Salt Lake City. A fight broke out on the field after Wasatch players allegedly used racial slurs. Both schools are now looking into the matter. Highland High School principal Jeremy Chatterton says he hopes they can get to the bottom of what happened.
Obviously, if students felt as though that this is what they heard, then this is something that we would really address and make sure that we put the proper channels in for them to be able to have the support that they would need. But right now, we're really just in the preliminary investigative stages of what was going on.
The Black Lives Matter Utah chapter posted a video of the fight on its Facebook page and said it received civil rights complaints about the incident. Some said coaches were involved in the fight. Chatterton wasn't at the game, but he says based on what he knows, the coaches were trying to separate the players. Wasatch School District declined an interview with KPCW, but released a statement that said they expect athletes and staff to act as role models for other students. The district also said they will continue to work with Highland High until they reach a resolution. And they may take disciplinary action, but that depends on the outcome of the investigation. Jessica Lowell, KPCW News.
8:11 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. The Summit County Council will meet in work session tomorrow via Zoom starting at 4:30. They're on the phone. On the phone now with a preview, I have Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Leslie.
During tomorrow's meeting, the council will be asked if they want to implement a community cat program. So do we have a cat problem here?
Well, you know, I think every community has feral cats that have to be dealt with in one way or another. And as I saw from the staff report, there are at least one local organization that is asking the council to consider such a program. Types of programs like these were authorized by the state legislature a few years ago. So our staff is actually not recommending that we start one of these programs, but they do want to bring the issue forward, provide some education on it, and start a discussion with the council.
So the staff report notes that under this program, a sponsor or caretaker would attend to feral cats to make sure that they're sterilized and vaccinated. It also says that they need to be ear-tipped. What is ear-tipped? What does that mean?
Well, ear-tipped is a surgical procedure while the cat is under anesthesia for the sterilization. That essentially takes the tip of the cat's ear off in order to identify it as a cat that's already a feral cat that has already been put into the program.
Oh, okay. All right. And again, do we have any idea what we're talking about in terms of numbers here?
I don't have a good idea. I think from the staff report, we saw that somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 plus cats were through the shelter last year. So, you know, there are cats out there that could be part of a program like this if it was implemented. So, you know, we see more cats, it looks like, than we do any other kind of animal, although we also see quite a bit of small wildlife as well.
So is this request then for the county to get involved? As you mentioned, the animal control director is not recommending that we do this.
That is correct. So we are actually suggesting to the council that we don't start a program like this. Based on a look at the pros and cons of doing something like this. I think the other thing that hasn't been really well documented or well analyzed is whether there would have to be staff additions or cost additions to the county if a program like this was started up. I mean, I understand that there would be probably volunteer doctors that or vets that do the sterilization, as well as there might be community interest in volunteering around a program like this. But it seems like there would be some cost to the county as well.
Okay, but we don't know what those costs would be at this point?
I don't think we've looked at it that deeply yet.
All right. Do we know if other Utah communities have this program? As you mentioned, it was an authorization by the legislature several years ago.
It looks like Salt Lake County has this program, according to the staff report. So we'll be hearing more about that tomorrow.
Okay. Actually, would literally looking for a person to herd cats.
Yeah. that is an apt statement.
Yeah. All right. Well, the council will review some Park City Fire District policies. Just some tweaking here.
Yes, it looks like we're looking at leave associated with the EMS program, and then some small change in policy in regards to how district personnel have to identify themselves if they're taking certain kinds of prescription drugs.
All right. And then at 6 p.m., public input. And that's really basically it for the agenda, huh?
It's a short agenda today. We have two members that, Glenn Wright and Melina Stevens, that will be attending Utah Association of County meetings, annual meetings. So they will not be in attendance at the meeting. So we just didn't want to bring forward any large decision items or land use items for this agenda.
All right. Well, let me ask you about some other things that are going on. The Summit County Health Board has appointed Dr. Phil Bondurant to take over as the health department director when Rich Bulla leaves in August. So did the county even post the job?
We did not. The Board of Health went through a process when they Dr. Bulla actually identified that he was going to retire before he publicly announced, to give the board some time to deliberate what they wanted to do. Of course, we looked at state law. We looked at our internal policies that actually encourage us to promote from within if we have that opportunity. At the same time, we were also facing some other health director positions that were open around the state, as we've seen reported over the last few months. We knew that Dr. Bondurant was being recruited for those. Knowing enough about the public health community and who was eligible to apply for those jobs in the state, I think the Board of Health took the opportunity to hire who we feel is probably the best candidate in the state.
And of course he's got the experience and he knows all of the players and can really kind of just step into it. Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, his experience as he stepped through environmental health and then as deputy director for a little over the last year, you have everything from experience with an emergency pandemic to starting up sewer systems and dealing with wastewater. And you know, those are very unique skills.
Yeah. And what about Dr. Bondurant's salary? Will it be the same as Bolo's? I mean, during the health board discussion yesterday, one health board member said he thought the salary should be higher.
Yeah, I appreciate that sentiment. These are very technical positions. There's a lot of technical expertise, a lot of expertise that they bring. I mean, we've hired people with very deep education credentials as well, and I appreciate that sentiment. The range for this position is the same as it was before. Dr. Bulla was higher in that range because of the years that he spent as health director. Dr. Bondurant is also not coming in at the bottom of the range. He is, his experience and education are being acknowledged in the salary that he's receiving.
All right. Now, do we have somebody who can step into Dr. Bondurant's position?
Well, I believe that Dr. Bulla and Dr. Bondurant are opening that position for recruitment. We do have some internal possibilities that we think will probably apply. But we are going to cast a wider net for that.
All right. Let's move on to Park City's landfill proposal. Summit County submitted its comments before the deadline last week. And in that letter, the land use compatibility provisions are noted that a landfill of this nature may not be sited within 1,000 feet of a city or a county recreation area or within 1,000 feet of a stream. In the county's letter, you say both occur, and you wanted the state to confirm whether or not the county's analysis is correct or not. Have you heard back?
We have not heard back. I'm not exactly sure what the schedule is for response to that, whether we'll actually receive a response or not. It is a comment period. It doesn't necessarily say that they'll answer questions, for instance. Just a very cursory analysis of putting some measurements on a map to see what was within that those radiuses. That's what brought up our comments, we feel we've been responsible in making those comments to the DEQ as part of the permit process.
Yeah, and also to the north and east of the proposed site, we've got, of course, the Round Valley Recreation Area, including biking, cross-country skiing, and hiking within that 1,000 feet. I mean, is it unclear? Are you referring to Park City regulations or are these state regulations?
These are the regulations that regulate that the Department of Environmental Quality uses to permit these types of activities. And I'm sure, one of the things we might learn along the way is that there are specific definitions for say a water body or a recreation facility. We did not get into parsing those definitions. We just identified what could be listed in those 1,000-foot radiuses, just to make sure that the DEQs was crossing their T's and dotting their I's on those parts of the regulation.
So were you just asking the the state to kind of look into these issues, or is it something that the county is against?
I think the letter is out there. We're very supportive of Park City properly dealing with soils. I mean, we have the same issues. There are these types of soils in the Silver Creek drainage, and I'm sure elsewhere. We're fully aware of the repository at Richardson Flat and other places where there might be soils in the county. These issues are issues that everybody in our area deals with in the Wasatch Back with the mining history. I think we encourage that proper treatment in our letter.
Yeah, basically you're asking that the application move forward as long as the mitigations to address this are taken care of. You've also asked that the public comment period be extended and that a public hearing actually be held. Is there not a public hearing scheduled?
Well, there, and that's a public hearing by the Department of Environmental Quality, not by Park City. So there is a provision within their regulations that within the public comment period, a local government can ask for a public hearing. I believe it had to be done within 15 days. It was either 12 or 15 days of the notice of public comment. So we did not, our comments did not make that that deadline. But we still felt it was responsible to ask for that.
Okay. So we don't know whether or not there will be one.
No, we're not sure yet.
Okay. Finally, I just wanted to see if there were any updates with regard to the avalanche fences. We had heard that we were trying to get a meeting with all of the stakeholders. Do we know if Vail Resorts and the Colony are willing to sit down and talk?
I do know that they are willing to sit down and talk, and we are trying to schedule that meeting right now.
All right. And then also some concern by the homeowners themselves, saying that this is something that was never taken to the Homeowners Association. Rather, it was just dealt with the Architectural Committee. Did it need homeowner approval?
It did not. It went through the proper levels of review with the Architectural Review Committee. And I think it went through two. I think I remember hearing from Pat that it went through two different architectural review committees, and I'm not familiar enough with those to tell you their exact names.
Okay, and anything you can update us on with regard to the hideout situation?
I don't know anything more than everyone else does in regards to the progression of the legal matters in regard that are ongoing. I'm keeping up to date with that the same way that you are.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we've just got another lawsuit that's been filed with regard to this. This between the developer and the town of Hideout, so not even Summit County's issue.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Tom, you wanted to mention?
No, there's nothing else today, Leslie.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Summit County Manager Tom Fisher, you're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. News time now, 8:25. Well, Park Avenue will be repainted starting this morning. KPCW's Sean Higgins has details on what to expect.
As part of a larger project to eventually reconstruct the majority of Park Avenue in Old Town Park City, the road will first be restriped starting on Tuesday. Park City Mayor Andy Bierman said the restriping is an opportunity for the city to give the street redesign a trial run before any fundamental changes are made. Among those changes is a dedicated lane for bike traffic.
Park Avenue is slated for major reconstruction, probably an $8 million reconstruction. And before we do that and make these changes, we want to test them. So we're going to start this summer with paint. We've been working with the businesses and the residents on that street on a plan, and council has settled on one. We're going to go out there. We're going to paint it, we're going to try it, and hopefully that'll inform us before we do any major physical changes in a couple of years.
According to city staff, electronic message boards will be activated on Tuesday, notifying the public of the project, and parking will be temporarily removed on both sides of the street between Deer Valley Drive and 9th Street. Restriping work is scheduled to begin on Wednesday the 12th. The city expects the majority of the work to be done by the end of that day, but has scheduled the bike lane painting through the 15th. Intermittent intersection closures to vehicles entering the street are expected throughout the project. Other changes to the street include removing parking from the east side of Park Avenue north of 9th Street, while the west side of the street will become a mix of residential permit parking and temporary visitor parking. A link to more details on the project can be found on our website, kpcw.org. Sean Higgins, KPCW News.
KPCW News time now, 8:27. Good morning. Well, John Bacar, the Alpine director of the Park City Ski and Snowboard, has retired after this winter season. The board of directors has now named Tommy Eckfeldt as his replacement. Tommy starting just yesterday, both he and Christy Hind, the executive director of the Park City Ski and Snowboard Association, joining me now in the studio. Good morning and congratulations to you, Tommy.
Thank you.
But Christy, let's start with you. Lots of changes, both the Alpine director, John Bucar, and longtime director of operations and development, Gail Barber, retiring this year. Was it just a tough year due to COVID, or was it just time?
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having us on. It's been a little while since we've come and given you any updates. So yes, we do. We have a couple of departures in our Alpine division. John Bucar, as you know, has been our able Alpine director for a couple of years, and really Gail Barber retiring after 22 years. A long, long legacy. Many, many generations of kids in this town have come through those team room doors into Gail's world. And we're so grateful for her long service and legacy, and what a duo that was. Really big shoes to fill. But I'm pleased to report that we assembled a hiring committee and really conducted not just a national search, but had international candidates apply for this very big role at Park City Ski and Snowboard. And we're so pleased that Tommy has agreed to step up to the plate and fill those big shoes, and has a really passion for the sport and a lot of great ideas going forward for our Alpine athletes.
All right. Now, have you also filled Gail's position as well?
So we have done some restructuring on the admin side. We have an events director, Kate Anderson, whom we've plucked from Ski Team to join us to produce and promote our events, which was a lot of what Gail did, as you know, historically over the years. And Jackie Reese Wilkinson is going to leave the Hill and join us on the admin side full time. So we've got a great team, along with Katie Comins, our director of operations. So I'm really excited. It's slightly different, but it's going to be a ton of support for all of our programs, so we're really excited.
Okay, now those guys work out of the Marriott Training Center at the base of Park City Mountain, and you work out of the UOP?
Yep, so I office out of both locations, but I'm primarily over at the UOP. And we've got the team room space just above the beloved Pig Pen, and hopefully we'll be getting athletes back in that space this winter, so yeah. That's really exciting.
Okay, well, Tommy, tell us a little bit about yourself. And you did some ski racing as well?
Yeah, I ski raced. I grew up in Vermont and around Stowe area, Waterbury, and grew up skiing at Cochrane Ski Area, which is a pretty famed small resort. And then went to private school ski academies back east at Gould Academy and Green Mountain Valley School, and found my way out here in 2007 to try to work with the U.S. team. And ended up winding up at Romark for a year, Romark Ski Academy. And then quickly got snatched up by the ski team and continued on from there for the next 4.5 years.
Okay, so that's where you're coming from, is the U.S. ski team?
Well, I was there from 2008 until 2012, and then looking for a little more advancement, I actually took a position in Canada as the head coach for the province of Ontario. And I was there for the next 4.5 years. And then pulled away, kind of came back to Utah to try to start a family. As you know, being on the road is really tough to have a family. So trying to come back here and support my wife's business, local business and Alpine Promotions in Park City and Salt Lake, and try to have a family. And so I've just been consulting for the last several years in ski racing, trying to still stay involved in the sport and the community.
Yeah, so the position, not necessarily a coaching one. It's actually more of a herding cats position, right? Making
yeah.
sure that people are where they're supposed to be and kind of following the mission of the team. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, what's your kind of philosophy with coaching and...
I mean, I still love coaching. I love being on Hill. Love, it's really rewarding, obviously, working with the athletes on a day-to-day basis. But I have found over the years that one of my largest strengths is really just being a logistics person, kind of, you know, just managing and making sure things are correct for the teams to be able to go out and do what they need to do. So, you know, this kind of was a natural fit only because we were here based in Park City. With a local business, we didn't want to leave, and I didn't want to be on the road. And we now have two kids, a 1- and a 3-year-old, so I really wanted to be around a little bit more.
Yeah. So what do you think you can bring to the mix here?
You know, I think that I'm hoping to bring a new renewed enthusiasm and try to, you know, invigorate a little more energy in the club and the sport, and just try to get the community backing us, and, you know, really just trying to promote the club within the community a little more.
Yeah. And certainly you weren't around, but it was pretty much a funky year, right? I mean, did we pull off some competitions, Christy?
So we did. So, you know, it's interesting. It was actually our best year on record. Our enrollment increased across the club 17%, which is a whopping, just success story. We really were able to serve more kids than we ever imagined. So competition season, as you know, was really complicated. I think on the Alpine side in particular, everything was sort of contracted into 1 month in February and a little bit into March. So it was really difficult. But we did. We also, on the freestyle side, held some of the country's biggest and most successful events. We held NORAMs. We also held junior nationals for moguls. Thanks to our partners at UOP and Colin Hilton and his team, we were able to pull off some really world-class events over there and to give kids in the development pipeline competitions that other resorts and clubs across the country just weren't able to do because of COVID. So it was a challenging year, but really kudos to our team for all coming together. We brought back almost 1,000 athletes to sport, notwithstanding the pandemic, and we didn't have a single COVID case come track back to the club. So I'm really proud of our team. I'm really proud of our partners, Park City Mountain, you know, unbelievable, you know, show of support, really standing up for athletes in a year that was really difficult for them. And again, the UOP, they were fabulous. Woodward, just the resorts, the relationships that we've built, a deep love and commitment to youth sports in this town really made it all possible.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, you're certainly hoping to get the kids back into the team room. I mean, it sounds like that's something that's going to happen.
Yeah, so gradually we are sort of appearing to like go back to normal a little bit. So we're going to put kids in vans this summer because we'll have coaches who are vaccinated and kids testing in. And then my hope is that sort of in the winter time frame, we'll be able to put kids back in the locker rooms when we have to space them out a little bit. But we've got lots of team rooms, you know, the team room over on the mountain. We've also got kids who work out of a free ski space just below that on the third floor, and kids at the UOP locker rooms and things like that. So it's logistically challenging. And, you know, I think we've really approached COVID with more caution probably than other organizations, but it served us. You know, I think families really trusted us this year to take good care of their kids, and we've held a really hopefully safe workplace for our coaches. So I think that served us, and I think it's going to help us get things back to normal slowly and surely. So.
And certainly all last summer, the on snow camps canceled. Are you anticipating that kids will have some on mountain skiing?
Yeah, from what it seems, I mean, obviously right now, as we know, you know, a lot of the borders are still locked down for other countries. And, you know, they're saying possibly that, you know, U.S. may be able to tourist or travel there with vaccination. But places like Chile right now are still fully locked down, and New Zealand as well, Australia. But Europe is talking that way. Obviously, we're kind of planning that for potentially the fall. Right now, obviously, our biggest attraction is Mount Hood in Oregon. And so we're slated to go there at the end of June for the first camp.
All right. Given the drought, we've still got snow there.
Yeah, I mean, it still seems to be okay. I mean, usually that the snowfields on the Palmer Glacier are pretty sustainable through at least the end of June, beginning July. And with low snow years, they start to go in pretty quickly in August. Yeah. So we'll see what it's like for our second camp, which was supposed to be slated in August there.
All right. And then you mentioned, of course, the UOP, because we've got several of the athletes there, training there. How did that go?
So the intermediate hill, as we call it, highway, has been a game changer for athletes over at the UOP, not just our Alpine athletes, but also our mogul athletes. They put up a world-class course, as I mentioned, for that junior nationals on the mogul side. And so that intermediate hill really, I would say, has beat everyone's expectations. It's just a phenomenal early access training center. Our athletes were on by November 17th. Really, I mean, Colin Hilton was the first, they were the first resort to open in Utah. And our athletes were there day one. So that was a really big, like I said, game changer for local athletes who used to get on snow really early here in Park City and now are able to do that again. So we're looking forward to phase two. That is still very much in the works. You know, Colin and his team, I know, are working really hard with figuring out everything you have to do. First of all, studying everything that they did, all the successes on phase one, you know, working with the county, working with local power. We're still looking, I think, for a lift, if anybody has one in their backyard that they want to donate to this project, but things like that. And, you know, looking forward, this will be another world-class, you know, extension to that UOP expansion project.
Yeah, so phase two would have more of an expert hill. Is that, I mean, we've kind of got the beginning and the intermediate. We'd go a little bit higher?
Yeah, I think that's the plan. So they're still studying and still working all of that out, and I think you'll be getting some updates pretty soon here. But yes, I think the idea is to expand it. But look, the focus very much, their charter is to keep youth sports and as many kids in Utah and across the nation on snow and training as possible. So it's not looking just for Olympics and things like that. I mean, I think, you know, to the extent that they can leverage that terrain, that's terrific. But they're always going to be very focused on local athletes and keeping developing athletes on snow.
Okay. Anything else either of you'd like to say?
I'm just really looking forward to the summer. We have lots of camps and opportunities for kids who want to get involved in our programs here locally. You know, the water ramps and the airbags, and we've got kids on, you know, roller skis. So please check out our website at parkcityss.org for as many opportunities as possible. Also be looking for our athletes to be giving back. One of our core mission, part of our mission is to make sure that our athletes are not just always asking for things, but also giving back. And so we, with our new events director, will be creating community events where athletes are participating and we are serving the community as much as possible.
Yeah, hoping to get back for the July 4th fun run. And
well, it looks like that'll be virtual again this year. Leslie, just as an abundance of caution and really following the lead of the city, our good partner, Cole Sport, we've done that event together for years. And so we're going to go virtual again this year, but be looking out for Ski Swap to happen and for our golf tournament to be live again this year. And we're just so grateful to everyone in the community for all the support that you give these young kids who are trying to make their Olympic dreams.
Okay. And Tommy? Anything you want to mention?
I'm just really happy to try to help, you know, the community out and really try to, you know, get Park City going again. So I'm happy to be here.
All right. Well, congratulations. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Leslie.
Christy Heinen, Tommy Eckfeldt again with the Park City Ski and Snowboard. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. News time now, 8:40. Well, this week's regular meeting of the Snyderville Basin Planning Commission has just a couple of items, but Development Director Pat Putt says that they are significant. KPCW's Rick Bruff has more.
The Snyderville Commission is meeting via Zoom on Tuesday, May 11th, but will not begin with their usual work session at 4:30. The regular session starts at 6 p.m. They will hold a public hearing and possibly make a decision on a new community park expansion located across from the existing Trailside Park. Pat Putt told KPCW that a couple of years ago, the county council bought some 68 acres along Trailside Drive, which has been called the Amenti parcel. Putt said the Snyderville Recreation District is seeking a conditional use permit for the park plan.
It'll be an expansion of the existing uses, but the plan includes two multi-purpose play fields. There'll be a couple of pavilions, some parking associated with that, a transit stop. There'll be a restroom building.
The staff report said the park will take up 10 acres of the Amenti property, and the rest will be passive recreation. The second item is from Rocky Mountain Power, which has been upgrading its power lines in the basin. A public hearing will be held on a 6-mile upgrade of their transmission line running from the substation in Park City near the recycling center along the Highway 224 corridor to the Bear Hollow substation. The upgrade would raise the power poles from 59 feet to 75 feet as wildfire mitigation. The Snyderville planners are not working this week on revisions to the basin general plan and code, but PUD said that after several months of discussions, they have come up with half a dozen draft amendments, which will probably go to public input starting in June.
Probably the one that's the most important for me to talk about is there is a chapter in the Basin General Plan that outlines all of the neighborhoods in the basin and talks about their existing character, the direction in the future, what are we trying to protect in those areas, if there's opportunities to, advance, some positive changes, what are they?
Putt said there are 15 or 16 neighborhoods designated in the basin. Other amendments drafted by the Snyderville Commission relate to sustainability, transportation, open space, and recreation. For KPCW, I'm Rick Bruff.
Well, in a special meeting held Monday afternoon, the Summit County Board of Health appointed Dr. Phil Bondurant as the next health director. Bondurant will be succeeding Dr. Rich Bullo, who served nearly 11 years heading up the Summit County Health Department. Bondurant will become the health director as of August 21st. That's immediately following Bullo's retirement and will serve a 3-year term. In a press statement, the health board said that after being notified of Dr. Bullo's departure several weeks ago, they began the process of picking a successor in consultation with the county council, the county manager, and the county attorney's office. Bondurant, a native of Nevada, joined Summit County in 2014 as the environmental health director and was promoted to deputy director in 2019. His appointment was unanimously approved by board members Dorothy Adams, Roger Armstrong, Chairman Chris Cherniak, Doug Evans, and Mark Watterson. Two members who were absent, Chris Ure and Alyssa Golding, sent messages that they wholeheartedly support the appointment. Cherniak said that the board chose Bondurant after reviewing his credentials and experience and going through a fairly robust interview process. Taking media questions, Cherniak was asked if they talked to any other candidates. He said no.
We considered opening up the process to other candidates, but quite honestly, after interviewing Dr. Bondurant and hearing from some other individuals in the county, we decided that he was the right individual for this position.
Cherniak and County Manager Tom Fisher also said they held a special health board meeting for the appointment because it's important to get started on the transition with Drs. Bullo and Bondurant. Cherniak said it's also a reason they didn't conduct a wider candidate search, which would have probably taken months. Board member Dorothy Adams was one of those who commended Bondurant.
I truthfully believe your experience with environmental health is a very needed piece for a public health director, and I think you have always demonstrated throughout the time that I've known you, just as was noted by Mark, just a professionalism as you work with the community. You have a passion for the work you're doing, which I think is absolutely critical. And through the year that we just experienced, hopefully a once-in-a-lifetime response, you were by Rich's side and a very needed piece as well for the community.
Bondurant said he was humbled and excited by the new position. He said he was mentored during the past year by Dr. Bullo.
I will be the first to tell you, having worked with Rich and been on the phone until the wee hours of the morning about pandemic stuff, they are very big shoes to fill.
That's Summit County's next health director, Phil Bondurant. The board also announced that they will immediately start the search for a new deputy health director. KPCW News Time now, 8:46. Well, the Arts Council of Park City and Summit County looking for artists to join them at the 2021 Summit Arts Showcase located at the Red Barn in Oakley this summer. In the studio with details, I have the Executive Director of the Arts Council, Jocelyn Scudder. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So how many artists are you looking for?
Well, you know, this year is going to be a little bit different. It's our first year bringing the art show outside. We're doing this in response to the pandemic to ensure that our artists and patrons feel a little bit more safe attending a fine art showcase and sale. And actually, a really positive outcome of bringing it outside is we can accept more artists than usual. Usually it's about 20 due to the, you know, structural and restrictions of a building. But we can bring it outside into the parking lot. And we're looking for about 30 artists. We've received great response. And so we just wanted to come on today and encourage artists that maybe don't know us well, who've moved to town, or artists that maybe are shy and aren't sure if they want to sign up. We do encourage all artists of any level, really established artists, emerging artists, to come and take advantage of the opportunity for our first really event of since COVID. We're super excited to present the Summit Art Showcase. And there is a registration fee, but otherwise, if you are accepted into the show, you run your own sales. You keep all the sales funding that you receive when you sell a piece of artwork. So it's a great opportunity for artists to really get out there, cultivate new collectors, make community connections, and network with artists.
Okay, so when's it going to be held?
So this show is held Friday, June 18th, and that's going to be an afternoon show from 4 to 8 p.m. and Saturday, June 19th, and that's an all-day show from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So it's 2 days outdoors. Artists are required to bring their own pop-up tents. We do not have any way to supply that at this time, but most artists that we've been talking to, they really drove this decision. They were really motivated to have this show outside, and a lot of the local artists said, you know, if we don't have a tent, one of our friends does. They were really motivated to bring it outside, so we're really planning this show in response to local artists' feedback, and but that's it's an important stipulation for those who are interested in applying.
All right, so how do they apply?
So if you go to pcscarts.org, that's our website, and you'll find information and an artist application there. It's really easy to fill out, only about 5 minutes, and then we will have a jury that goes through all of the submissions, and the deadline to apply is May 18th, and then we'll let all artists know whether they've been selected into the show by May 28th. And then they should have about a month to plan for the Summit Art Showcase. And this will take place again at the Oakley Red Barn. For those of you who haven't been there, it's right across from their rodeo grounds. There's a lot of soccer fields. It's beautiful out there. We're going to have some live music, some food trucks. So it's a really fun, energetic event. We've been doing this for 11 years now, and it's grown every year. So it feels really good to plan an event this year and do it outside. We are going to request that people wear masks when they attend, and we're going to be following really closely some COVID guidelines to ensure that everyone's safe. We're working really closely with Oakley City, too, to ensure that.
Yeah. So is there a fee to get in?
Nope. This is going to be free and open to the public. So it's a priority for a lot of our events that we do free events. So, so once we select our artists, we'll probably do another press release and share with the public who has been selected. And it's a great way for public to start to learn and get to know some of our local artists, support local artists who have, of course, been extremely impacted negatively during this very difficult year. So we hope that people will be excited to get back together outdoors to support local art in Summit County.
And you're especially looking for artists from the east side of the county?
Yes, I mean, this is an event that we do on the east side, and naturally, when it was kind of grassroots when it started. It was mostly east side artists that started it 11 years ago, and so it naturally happens that many east side artists do apply, but we do accept artists from all throughout the county, as well as people from Wasatch County and Salt Lake County. We do heavily prioritize our Summit County artists when we are selecting, but we have had representation from Wasatch County in Salt Lake County before.
All right. So what else have you guys got going on?
Well, we are feeling very fortunate. We've created a really positive relationship with a host sponsor that we've been working with for our Create PC pop-up community gallery. I know I've been on here and talked about it before, but it's just down the road here on Main Street at 544 Main Street. And, the Vicasa Real Estate, who really oversees and rents that building, They've been really generous to us, and we're still there. They've given us another go-ahead to be in there for the month of May and potentially June. We are on a month-to-month basis with them, and the important thing is that the artists are loving it. They're selling artwork consistently. We have over 30 artists represented in Create PC, and again, it's a pop-up community gallery. So we have fine art, we have jewelry. There is even some creative apparel in there, but we're getting incredible feedback from the artists. They're feeling excited and energized to continue to create work, which is really important. And we're getting great feedback from community members too, who love to go in there and explore our creative local talent. So we do have a pop-up shop open and running. It's hard to market, actually, going month to month, because it's not as exciting to say, oh, we're new, and it's just kind of going. But we're working with a local artist to do a cool installation just in the foyer of the Create PC building this month to kind of re-energize it. So please stop in. We're open every day starting at noon till 6 p.m. So if you're interested in kind of checking out the local creative talent and the people that are involved with Create PC, you can go into 544 Main Street, and you can also go to createpc.org to find out more about the program.
Okay. So you do have regular hours then?
Every day, 12 to 6. And recently, every once in a while, we have a couple artists wanting to go in and make live art, which has kind of been a fun activation. So they'll be in there to represent themselves, but we've had people do watercolor paint and oil painting in the space, which is fun. We're finding new ways to kind of energize it each month, because we've been hanging on as long as we can, and we feel really fortunate to have really generous landlords and local business owners who want to support local nonprofits and local artists, and they have been able to do that through in-kind donation through a space. So it's been a whirlwind and experiment, but it's proven to be successful, and we're always, if you're listening and you're a local landlord, we're always looking for new places to pop up this activation. And so, it's a really, really rewarding program.
Okay. And where are things with the Project ABC?
Yeah. So, Project ABC, for those of you who are unfamiliar, it's a cultural plan that the Arts Council helped manage. And we released it in 2018. And really what Project ABC is a roadmap. It's a cultural plan for all of Summit County. We had multiple stakeholders from a lot of different sectors in our community, such as government leaders and business leaders, people from the resorts, people from the nonprofit sector, help contribute ideas on, what their vision for future for arts and culture is. So this plan was launched in 2018, and the Arts Council has kind of been charged to manage it. You know, it is community owned, and it was driven by community feedback, but we have these priorities that were embedded in the plan that we're looking to move forward. We want to make sure that there's progress happening in the local arts and culture sector. We want to make sure we're moving the needle. One exciting thing that's been happening related to Project ABC is we had a community convening recently, and we hosted the mayor of Helper, Utah, who's done some really interesting things with arts and culture in Helper, and also the executive director of the North Dakota Arts Council come talk to us about what they're doing in more rural areas, specifically in North Dakota and Utah. And we had some really energized people from both North and South Summit respond really positively to this community convening that we hosted over Zoom. And we've been meeting with these groups in North and South Summit regularly. We also have a North and South Summit Arts and Culture Roundtable that is organically formed that we're meeting with monthly, maybe every 2 months now. There's some really exciting new activations happening in Camas over Memorial Day. There's a new grassroots volunteer group called North Summit Unite that is just formed out of Colville that wants to do some arts and culture planning. So it's a great example of how we convene people to talk about progress, what works well in different areas of maybe the state or even in other states. How do we compare those ideas to Summit County to help develop arts and culture throughout the county? And we're seeing progress. We're seeing actionable things happen, and people, residents, really, really excited about this work. So that's, it's something that we're feeling really positive about, and we're seeing a lot of progress.
All right. And another big event that you guys used to do also was the Monster Drawing Rally. Are you going to bring that back this year?
We are. We are. Actually, you're going to see a press release about that very soon, Leslie. And without giving too much away, we are partnering with the Kimball Arts Center once again. We usually do this event in May. It felt very, very shaky to do that. We were right in the middle of vaccine distribution. And so we've postponed it till July. And this will also be a different iteration where we're bringing it all outside. We're going to host it at the Kimball Arts Center's new space at the Yard, 1251, Kearns Boulevard. And we're going to have, again, it's a really fun, energetic event if you haven't been. We have artists creating artwork live, and then you can bid on it. All artwork is sold for $50 to benefit the Arts Council and the Kimball Arts Center. And then there's also a silent auction where artists can sell their work. So stay tuned for a lot more information on that. We're going to put out another call for artists soon to get artists involved.
Okay. And then is the Arts Council going to take a position with one way or the other on the Arts and Culture District?
Yes. I mean, we've obviously been following that conversation very closely. We believe that an Arts and Culture District will have a lot of benefit for our community. Of course, there's a lot of conversation about how it's funded. And the price tag, we of course think it's very important to be fiscally responsible with spending. And so we're really excited to see the staff work on different iterations that the community might be able to latch on to. I think the big piece of feedback recently was that people found it to be too expensive, and so staff responded to that and reconfigured a plan and a design to be more affordable. There's been a lot of work done to respond to community feedback to make sure that it's a community-informed project. And, in the end, I think this will be an important gathering space. I mean, it's something that was embedded in the Project ABC plan, a much-needed area for more artistic expression, for more creative entrepreneurs to have stores, more eateries. I mean, maybe soften some of the pressure that's on Main Street, and then there's a really interesting corridor that then forms that can connect kind of that Bonanza Park area up to Main Street to create a much bigger arts district. So we, of course, as an arts council, we know that investment in arts and culture spaces is important, and there's a return on that investment. So we are in support of it, and we are also, listening to community just as everyone else is, and I know council's working really hard on that as well as staff. So, I think that we're excited to see how staff and council responds to feedback and come up with a plan that everyone can get on board with.
Okay, I need to leave it there. Hey, thanks
for
coming in.
Thanks.
It's Jocelyn Scudder is the Executive Director of the Park City Summit County Arts Council. You're listening to the Local News Hour now on KPCW. It's 8:59. We're up to 34 degrees here in Old Town Park City. Forecast today calling for mostly sunny skies, looking for a high of 51. Clear tonight, 32 is the overnight low. Sunny and 60 on Wednesday, 68 on Thursday, 70 by Friday. Again, as we heard, kind of a mishmash of weather starting Friday night on into Saturday with a chance of some showers. Saturday looks like perhaps a better chance of some showers on Sunday. Stay tuned now for headline news followed by This Green Earth. This is Community Radio, listener-supported KPCW Park City.